Thank you, Mr. Garvin. Good morning, brethren. What a beautiful Sabbath day today. It's hard to believe it's February, the middle of February, you know. We haven't had, I don't believe we've had a February like this. I don't ever remember a February like this. I do appreciate there's no snow out there on the roads, and I know Dan doesn't appreciate it, but I do. Every evening, a mother and a young son knelt down beside the bed so he could say his prayers. One night, obviously, bored with the same old prayer, the little boy said this: "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, can I have breakfast with you in the morning?" I think my grandmother used to make me say that prayer. That prayer is really an old one. Perhaps some of you have had your children say it. Perhaps you used to say it yourself. On our way to Cincinnati a few weeks ago, there's a billboard that says, "If you were to die today, where would you spend eternity?" And I've seen that billboard around the country in different areas. Some church puts it up, I believe. And I used to think when I would see that sign, where if you died today, where would you spend eternity? I used to think, if these people only knew the truth. You know, they don't understand about the great white throne judgment. They don't understand at all about a second resurrection. What they do believe in is that you're going to either die and go to heaven, or you're going to die and go to hell. Because if you drive down just another few hundred feet, there's another sign, another big billboard. It's a large billboard. What does it say? Does anybody know what it says? That's right. The next sign says, "Hell is real." So what they're trying to do is install a little fear into people. They want people to have a fear of religion, to be afraid that if they don't accept Christ in their heart, they don't say, you know, "I believe," that then they're going to go to hell and they're going to burn forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Well, does the Bible teach fear of religion? Is there anything in the Bible that could make us think that there is a fear of religion? Let's look at Matthew 18 for a second here. Actually, I think I want to go to... Hold on a second here. Matthew 18:28. That's not the verse I want, but let's go to Luke 12. We'll try that one. Luke 12, which is the same one, only it's Luke's account of it. Luke 12, starting in verse 4. And this is Christ, and he's teaching disciples. He says, "I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body." So the body, that means our flesh and the blood that's in us. He says, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do." That's all they can do. Kill the body. And I tell you, in this world today, that's all you read about in the newspapers is where somebody has been murdered. The television shows, they go on and on and on. The most popular shows, NCIS, CSI, all those shows, every show has a murder in it. Every one of them. But Christ says here, don't be afraid of him that can kill the body, But I will show you whom you shall fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. So this is fear, the one that can actually take that soul that's in you. And that soul is the same thing as the spirit in man that Job, it's in the book of Job, where it says there is a spirit in man. That's what the body and the soul, that's what the soul is. And God can burn up that body and that spirit for all eternity. And we know that. So those that want a title, the title is Fear. Fear what? We're going to look into that word fear today and find out just exactly what all that means. I have a question and answer. I believe I got this from an old Good News magazine where people would write in and have questions and the church would answer. So I want to read this first so we know where I'm coming from. It says, what does the Bible mean when it says we should fear God? Does it mean that we should be afraid of Him? The answer, the church's answer, is the term fear, as used in the Bible, can encompass a sense of awe. Now, we know that in the Psalms it says, fear God and stand in awe of Him. And we do read this a lot, and this word does mean, the word fear, a lot of places in the Bible, does mean to stand in awe of God, to just respect Him. A sense of awe, respect, and reverence for God, as well as fear of the consequences of disobeying Him. The Bible says that this fear is only the beginning of wisdom. That's in Proverbs. When we are babes in Christ, just coming into a knowledge of God's truth, we may be mainly motivated by fear of the punishment God will bring on those who don't keep His law. Now, what got me interested in this subject was a television show, America's Funniest Videos. We watch that occasionally. But there was a young boy, I would say around maybe 4 or 5 years old, and he had, at the dinner table, his parents apparently had got up and left, and he thought they were gone, and he took his plate. And you see him walking over, and he went over to the garbage can and opened it up, and then he scraped his dinner in the plate, and he was heading back to the table, and he looked up, and there was one of his parents standing there with the camera taking a picture. And he just started bawling, crying so hard. You know, this boy was in total fear. He was afraid of what was going to happen to him. So that got me thinking about this subject. And so I wondered, now we should have a fear of God, to be in awe of Him. But also, should we be afraid of God? Well, we'll get to that a little bit later, too. A mature Christian knows very deeply that Christ has paid the penalty for his sins, and that as soon as he repents of any new sins, he is justified, free of guilt. He has nothing to fear from God, as long as he repents and asks God for forgiveness. And as we grow in our relationship with God, we become more like Abraham was. And Abraham was a friend of God. He walked with God and he talked to God. There was a time when Abraham said that he did fear God. I have several scriptures I want to look at today. Because the Bible is full of verses that says that we are to fear God. And there's just as many almost that says have no fear. You know, perfect love casts out fear. God is not giving us a spirit of fear. So I want to look at some of those. So let's turn to 1 John 4:18. And here is John is telling us that there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So it says we're not to fear. Let's go to Acts 5 and verse 5. I'm going to kind of jump back and forth between fear and no fear. Acts 5, in verse 5, this is when Ananias and Sapphira sold the piece of property they had, and they didn't turn all the money into the church. They held some of it back. Then it says in verse 5, Ananias, hearing these words, he fell down and breathed his last. So he died. Peter told him, you're going to die. And he did. So fear came upon all those who heard these sayings. So there was fear in the church. And I think that was probably the type of fear that you feel when you're afraid of something. Let's go to Luke 12 and 32. Luke 12, verse 32. Now here's a do not fear scripture. This is from Christ. Jesus Christ is telling his disciples, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So here he's telling us that we are not to fear. Now I want to read something here. I meant to do this before I started in this, but there are, in the Old Testament, there are 15 words, Hebrew words in the Old Testament, that is translated into fear. 15 different words. And in the New Testament, there are 13 different words. It's in the King James Version. And in the King James Version, these words are used more than 150 times. So fear is in the Bible a lot. So we'll go back to Luke here in verse 32. He says, do not fear. So Christ is telling his disciples that they're not to have any fear in them. Now, fear is an emotion. It's something that's in our mind. It's actually the same as love. You know, fear and love kind of go hand in hand. They're emotions that we have. We can't work them up. It's not like you can, it's just like faith. You can't work up faith. You can't keep saying to yourself, I have faith, and you're going to have it. It's something that I think God gives you. It's something that we have to pray about and go to God about. And I think that fear is like that too. Okay, over in Acts 9:31, Acts 9, verse 31, that's what it was. It says, then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, and they were walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and they were multiplied. So, back at that time, the church continued to grow, but it says that they walked in the fear of the Lord. So, we'll find out just what that means a little bit later. Let's go to Hebrews 13:6. This is a don't fear scripture, Hebrews 13 and verse 6. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? So this shows us that we're not to fear any man. Now that Bible is very clear about that. We're not to fear any person. We're not even to fear Satan. We don't fear him. We know who he is, but the spirit that God gives us is a spirit of power, and it's much, much stronger than that spirit of Satan. So we don't even fear him. He says, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. what can man do to me? Then let's look at Luke 1:50. Luke. Chapter 1, verse 50. Well, this is a song of Mary. And in the song, in verse 50, she says, "And His mercy is on those who fear Him from generation to generation." From on and on and on, His mercy will be on those that fear Him. Let's go to Psalms 31 now. See what David says about this. Psalms 31. Verse 19. Psalms 31, verse 19. "Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men." And there again, it shows that God's goodness is laid up for those that fear Him, that stand in awe of Him, that respect Him, that honor Him. Now, are we to ever be afraid? You know, the first time the word afraid is in the Bible, let's go back to Genesis 3. This is the first time the word afraid is there. And now we'll begin to see a little bit about what it is the word be afraid of, and what we are to fear. Genesis 3, verses 7 to 11. Now, this is when Eve had given Adam a bite of the fruit, and he took it, and their eyes were open all of a sudden. It says, "Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Then they heard the sound of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife, they hid themselves from the presence of God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said, 'Adam, where are you?' So Adam answered back and said, 'I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid.'" There's the first time the word afraid is in the Bible. Adam was afraid because he says, "I was naked and I hid myself." And God says, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat?" So he was afraid because he sinned. He was afraid because he knew he had done something wrong. And I have to wonder sometimes, how did he even know what the word afraid meant? God must have really filled his mind full of a lot of knowledge, when he was created. Because before this time, he would never have been afraid of anything. But now he says, "I was afraid." And it was because he sinned. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. I think you all know that verse off by heart. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. Now this is Solomon saying, this is the bottom line of Solomon's understandings. He says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Let us hear the bottom line." fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. So we can see here that we need to be afraid because God is going to bring every work into judgment. And we today are being judged. So we today, we need to fear to disobey God. We need to fear to go against His commands. We need to stand in awe of God and recognize that He is our great Creator. He's the one that sustains our lives. We belong to Him. He owns us. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. But we have to have a fear of disobeying Him. Let's go to Exodus 20 and verse 20, and it'll make it a little bit more clear here. Exodus 20. Have you ever really been afraid of something? I mean, total fear. I remember I was just in my late teens, at 19 or 20. We were married. Carrie was just a baby, maybe 1 or 2 years old. And we lived in an apartment. And I remember waking up, I would say in the middle of the night, I'm not sure exactly when it was, but we had been sleeping and I woke up and I had a fear come over me that I never experienced before in my life. It was just like, in my mind, there was something there. I'm not saying there was, it wasn't like there was somebody there. I wasn't afraid of a robber being in the apartment, but it was like there was a being there. And it scared me so bad. I remember I grabbed a hold of Lynn real tight, you know. And then I fell back to sleep and got up the next morning and it was gone. That's happened to me twice in my life. One other time, I don't remember when it was, but twice that's happened where I just had this total fear. I was scared. I'm not sure what I was scared of. I don't know what it was, whether it was an angel, whether it was a demon, or whether it was just in my mind. I don't know. But I know that I was afraid. Exodus 20 and verse 20. And Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that His fear may be before you, so that you may not sin." So that is what it's all about. The Living Bible says, "Do not be afraid," Moses told them, "for God has come in this way to show you His awesome power, so that from now on you will be afraid to sin against Him." So that's where we need to be. We need to be afraid to ever sin, no matter how small a sin it is. We need to think about it before we do it and be afraid to do it. And the only way we can get that, I do believe, is through God's help. I'm afraid that in the past, there's probably been far too many that were not afraid. I'm not sure if I brought it with me, but yeah. It says, some Christians, fear in the New Testament. So some Christians tend to de-emphasize the fear of God in the New Testament by placing the love of God above the fear of God. Now, we know that the Christian world today, all they can see is the love of God. That's all you hear from them is, you know, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life." They take that one verse and that's all there is. They throw every other verse out and they just look at that one verse. I had a stepdad, that's the way he was. He just believed that one verse and that's all he needed to know. But it says here that the Christians tend to de-emphasize the fear of a God in the New Testament by placing the love of God. It says there is indeed a greater emphasis on the love of God in the New Testament. That is there. However, the element of fear, well, that just goes on to say that the element of fear is there. But we can't throw out this feeling of fear and just put love in there and say that all we need to do is love God. Now, I want to go back to Hebrews 6 here. Hebrews 6. I've asked myself this question, and perhaps you have too. Is it possible that we could fall away after God has called us? Is it possible that we could lose out? Now that's something that we all need to fear. None of us want to lose out. Let's read something that Paul, or whoever the writer of the Hebrews was here. In Hebrews 6, and we'll start in verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, I would just say that, who once God opened their minds to His truth and they repented and were baptized and they received God's Spirit. From that point on, it says, it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit. So it shows there that these are those that have actually been baptized, had hands laid on them, received the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. And have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. If they fall away, it's impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put Him to open shame. So that's something we need to fear. We don't ever want to get in a position where we can fall away. Let's look at Hebrews 10. It's basically the same thing. Hebrews 10, verse 26 and 27. Hebrews 10, 26 and 27. If we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. If we sin willfully. This is what I'm saying. We need to be afraid of sinning willfully. We don't want to do that. But a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. So we know it is possible that we could actually fall away. I didn't have this written down, but Romans, Romans 11, 22. Romans 11, 22. Romans 11, 22. Therefore, consider the goodness and the severity of God. On those who fell, severity. But toward you, goodness. There's a big if. If you continue in His goodness, and if you don't, what's going to happen? If you don't continue, otherwise you will be cut off. And it shows us in Hebrews what happens if we're ever cut off. Now, what are some things that, I know that I'm afraid of right now? Afraid to do. When it comes to the Sabbath, I wouldn't work on the Sabbath, but I don't even think about whether I would be afraid to work on it. I don't even think about that. Because that's never going to happen. I'm not going to do it. But I got to thinking, well, what is there something out there that you just don't do because you're not supposed to do it, but you're actually fearful of doing it? And I thought, well, going to a medium. You couldn't pay me $1 million to go to a medium to have them tell me my fortune because I know it says not to do that. I'm afraid to do that. And I'm ashamed to admit that I have done that. In the past, when long before we came into church, there was in our town where we lived, there was a lady that was a medium. And I knew a lot of people that went to her, and she would tell them their fortune and what the future and what things were going to happen to them. And I went to her, I think, a couple times. She could never tell me anything. Never told me one thing about the future at all. We would just sit there and we'd talk. I believe perhaps I had protection or something, but she never did ever tell me anything. But I would be afraid to do that. I'd be afraid to even read the horoscopes. These newspapers that have a horoscope in it, I won't even read those because I know we're not supposed to. Another thing. When we, back in 1995, I'll go back to in the 1970s, when there was problems in the church and there were ministers that had left and started their own groups. Somehow they got a hold of the mailing list of the members of the church and they would send out letters to us. We'd get those letters, we would just throw them away. In 2 John 10, let's just look at that for a second here. 2 John, verse 10. 2 John, verse 10 says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. And I'll tell you, when we would get letters, even magazines from some of these ministers, we just threw it in the garbage. We wouldn't even read it at all. In Psalms 33, let's go to Psalms 33 for a second here. Psalms 33 and verse 8. No, that's not the one I want. I'll just read it to you. Which one I was looking for says, let all the earth fear the Lord, and let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. So, this psalm tells us we are to fear God, but we're also to stand in awe, respect, show Him reverence. I want to read some benefits of fearing God now. I'm not going to turn to any of these scriptures. I will mention them. If you want to write them down, you can. But Psalms 25, verse 12 and 14. Now, these are benefits for fearing God. It says, who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. So the secret of God is with those who fear him. God reveals his secrets to us. As it says in Daniel, the wise shall understand. And we can only understand these secrets or these hidden truths of God because he reveals it to us. In Psalms 33, 18 and 19, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. So there's a benefit. Those who fear God, he will keep them alive in famine. And as David said, that he's never seen one of God's people, in famine without, they always had food. Here's Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. Proverbs 14:26 and 27, in the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to avoid the snares of death. So it says, in the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence. We've never put any confidence in ourselves. You know, we have to put all of our confidence in God. We have to trust Him in everything. In mercy, this is in Proverbs 16:6, in mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity, and by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. So if we have the fear of God in us, we will depart from evil. We will stop sinning in everywhere, every way. Proverbs 22:4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Proverbs 22:4. That's a pretty good benefit. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. And in Luke 1:50, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. There are two types of fears in the Bible. Bad fear and good fear. Bad fear comes from the world, comes from our own flesh, and it comes from Satan. And we are not to have that fear at all. We are not to have no fear of Satan or the world at all. Now, the good fear, what is that? The good fear is the fear of God. And the fear of God is to stand in awe of Him, to respect Him, because He is our Creator, He's our Sustainer, and He's our God whom we love.